Begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Yud Gimel. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues, as we'll shortly explain, the theme of the previous Gemara from earlier on this Amid, which the Gemara was discussing the Pesukim in Megillah Esther, where it talks about the Yichus of Mordechai HaTzadik, and it says that it was Ish Yehudi, but at the same time it says that it was Yemini. So was he from Shevet Yehuda or Shevet Binyamin? So the Gemara has a few interpretations, the last one being that, yeah, he was from Shevet Binyamin, but because he was Kafar Baba Dezara, and whoever is Kafar Baba Dezara is called a Yehudi, as the Gemara brought a Raya from a Pasuk in Daniel, and that theme is where the Gemara continues with the following teaching. Reb Shimon ben Pazi, when we'd open up in regards to the Sefer of Divrei Yomim of Chronicles, Amahochi, he would say like this, Kol Divrecha, all your words, meaning he's talking in relation to the Sefer of Divrei Yomim, all your words of Divrei Yomim, Echadim, they're one, meaning there's sometimes that we mention many different names, this person, this person, this person, and really it's all reference to one person, and V'anu Yodin L'darshan, and we know how to expound it. So he's like talking to the Sefer, although you're ambiguous about it, but we're able to put our hearts to it, and we know how to expound it and what it's coming to tell us. And as we're saying, because we just said before, whoever's Kaifa Baba Dezar is called Yehudi, so we bring this over here where we have a similar type of interpretation, where it says, V'ishtei HaYehudiya, we're here, her name was not HaYehudiya, but she's called that, again, for the same reason like we mentioned by Mordechai HaTzadik, his wife, which was, her name was Yehudiya, Yolda es Yerid Avi Gedar, she gave birth to Yerid, the father of Gedar, Veshever Avi Seichai, to Hever, the father of Seichai, Vesyukasil Avi Zenuach, and Tikasil, the father of Zenuach, Ve'ela b'nei Bisya bas Paroi, Ashalokach Morad. And these are the sons of Bisya, the daughter of Paroi, who was taken to marriage by Morad. Now, that's what he was saying, that actually all these children are really one person. And says the Gemara, my Karele Yehudiya. Why was she called Yehudiya if her name was Bisya, as we say at the end of the pasuk, says Ve'ela b'nei Bisya? So why are we calling her Yehudiya? Says the Gemara, the same idea as from the previous stuff. Alshem shekufra b'avei dezar, because she denied idolatry. Because the chsiv, like the pasuk says in Shemais, it says Ve'terid bas parei lirchatz aliyar, right before the story where she reached out, she saved Moshe Rabbeinu as a baby from the Nilus, where it says that the daughter of Parei went down to bathe herself by the river. Now, what does that mean? What's the significance that she's bathing by the river? V'am Rabbi Yechon says, Sheyarda. What does it mean? She went down. Lirchitz migiluli beisavia. To cleanse herself from the filth of her father's household, meaning to immerse herself for the purposes of Geirus, of converting to Judaism, and that she was denying that of idolatry, and she was then taking on monotheism. And therefore, she was called Yehudiya. Now, if you're saying that it's referring to Bisya, and then obviously, as we're going to shortly explain, that all these names of quote her children and grandchildren were really descriptions of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara asks, so Yalda, it says that she gave birth, but v'haribuy ribise, she only brought him up, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. As we know from the story, Yecheved was his mother. So why say that she gave birth to him? So Lamelcha is coming to tell you, Shekalam agadol yasam yisayim b'teich beisa, whoever brings up an orphan boy or girl in their household, which is essentially what Moshe Rabbeinu was to Bisya, Malalo akos of Kila Yalda, the pasuk considers it as if he gave birth to that person. Whereas the Gemara is going to explain, all these names were actually descriptions of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yered ze Moshe. V'lama le Gershma Yered. Why is it called Yered? She Yered l'ham l'Yisrael, man b'yama, because he brought down from the heavens the manna that the Jewish people ate in the desert in his days. Why was it called Gedar? She Gadar Pritzasen, shel Yisrael. Whereas we're saying that Yered and Avi Gedar, these are all descriptions that will say why was it called Avi, all these terms Avi, but Gedar was also Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Shagadar Pirtz essentially so, because he closed the breaches of the Jewish people. Chever, Shechiber Es Yisrael Avin Shabashamayim, because he brought the Jewish people close, connected to the Father in Heaven. Soichai, Shenaslam Li Yisrael Kesukah, he became to the Jewish people like a canopy, like a covering. Yukasil, it's two words, Shekivu Yisrael Le'el B'yamav, that the Jewish people hope to God in his days. That's Yiku is Kav, and Kael, which is God, that in his days the Jewish people yearned and hoped in God. Zenuach, Sheznich Avanisein Shalisot, that he threw away, he got rid of the sins of the Jewish people. Now, why say Avi, Avi, Avi three times? To say he was the Av B'Torah, like the father in Torah, Av B'Chachman, the father in wisdom, and Abba Nabi, as he was the father of all prophets in regards to prophecy. And the pasuk concluded, Ve'ela b'nei Bisya shalokach marad. And these are the daughters, these are the sons of Bisya, which again, these are all descriptions of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Bisya, the daughter of Paroi, which was taken in marriage by Merid. Now, says the Gemara, v'chei Merid Shemai, was his name Merid? But like Kalev Shemai, but his name was Kalev, because there the Pesukim are talking about, and there by Yamim, regarding Kalev. So why is it called Merid? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Yavei Kalev, let Kalev come. Shemarad Ba'atzas Maragim, that he rebelled against the wicked council of the spies, who said, Lashnar Bat Eretz Yisrael. He was not part of that. The Yi says, Baspari, let him marry the daughter of Pari. Shemar to be Gilul Bezavi, that she also rebelled against the filth of the environment that she was coming from her father's house, from that of Pari, and therefore, that's why specifically over here in this marriage was her name and his name changed, because it's describing her and him, what they had in common, regarding that they rejected the evil counsel of the place they came from. Now, going back to expounding the Pesukim and Megillas Esther, we continue the narrative with the Gemara is up to Asha Hagla Yerushalayim, which again we're describing Mordechai at Tzadik, Ish Yehudi, and he says that he went into exile from Yerushalayim, which this was during after the Churban Beis Rishon and the first Galus of Bavel, so that he went into exile from Yerushalayim, and that's why he was here in Persia. Now Amar Rava, he says Shagalame Atzmai, but he went to exile on his own, because it doesn't say Asher Hoya Min HaGoyla Asher Hagla, so that he was from those who were exiled. No, it says Asher Hagla Im HaGoyla, that he went into exile with those who went to exile. I mean, he wasn't like the rest of the Jewish people that were forcibly taken into exile. He himself went into exile like Yirmiyah HaNavi did the same thing. He went to exile until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to come back. That was what Mordechai himself had also done. He wasn't forcibly taken, but he went to join the Jewish people in the exile. And the pasuk says, "Vehi oimin es hadasa," that he brought up, he nurtured hadasa. Now the Gemara asks, "Kari la hadasa, but kari la Esther." In the Megillah, she's called hadasa, and she's called Esther. What was her name? So Tanya learned the Braiser, it may or may says Esther Shema. Her name was Esther. V'lama nikra Shema hadasa. Why is the pasuk call her hadasa? Hashem hatzadikim shenikra hadasa, because she was righteous, and the righteous are called myrtles. Bechenorim, like it says the pasuk in Zechariah, says, "Vehu oimid ben hadasa," that he's standing amongst the myrtles that were in the swamp, which means between the righteous that were in Bavel, which that pasuk is talking regarding divine presence, we see that the tzaddikim are called Hadassim, and therefore her name was called Hadassah. Behuda says, no, Hadassah Shema, her name was Hadassah. V'lam nikra Shema Esther, so why was she called Esther? Hashem Shahisa Masteris Devereb, because she concealed her words. Shema, like it says in the pasuk in Megillas Esther, Ein Esther Magedis Esama V'gemer, Esther did not say her people, she didn't reveal any personal private information, so therefore she was hidden, that's why she was called Esther. And the Chemi Yemi says Hadassah Shema, says yeah, her name was Hadassah, but he says V'lam Nikras Esther. Why was she called Esther? Shahayu Umas Ha'Olam Karin Oisa Al Shum Istahar, because the nations of the world called her because of that she was beautiful like the moon. Where Istahar is Sahar, which is another word of the moon, and therefore they like she was like wow, as beautiful as and entrancing as the moon, and therefore she was called Esther, which is Istahar, which is a word of the moon. Now Ben Azam he says Esther. She wasn't very tall, she wasn't very short. She was somewhere in the middle, like a myrtle, which is not too extravagant, not too simple, but like in the middle, like Hadassah, therefore she was called Hadassah. He says, Esther, actually, she was green complexion, like a myrtle, like a Hadass. But there was like a strand of kindness that was drawn upon her from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why she looked beautiful to the nations of the world and to Achashverosh, but not because she was a superficial beauty. She was actually green complexion, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu put some type of grace on her, and therefore she looked beautiful. Now the pasuk says, Ke'in la'ave'im, because she had, meaning Mordechai Tzadik brought her up, because she had no father and mother. And the pasuk says, oh, when her father and mother passed away, therefore he took over. So the Gemara asks, "Uba Meisa Via Ve'ima Lamali." Why does it have to say, "And when her father and mother died"? If it says she Ke'in La'Ave'im, so we already know that fact. So Amar Vachi says, rather the pasuk is coming to teach us that even for one day she didn't have a father and mother. That's why it's saying "Uba Meisa Ve'Ima," that Ibarto, when her mother became pregnant, Meisa Via, her father passed away. So it comes out that to be called a father, what his job is done is when the woman becomes pregnant, the moment her mother conceived, the father passed away. And Yeldasa, and when she gave birth, which is when the mother's job is done, is basically her mother passed away and she never saw her to be able to call her mother. Therefore, it says this, it wasn't that just she didn't have a father and mother, she never had a father and mother. Now, it said in the pasuk, "Ubamaisa via ve'ima," when her father and mother passed away, "Lakacha Mordechai loy labas." So Mordechai took her as a daughter. Now, Tan Mishum Remeir, they told in the Brayis in the name of Remeir, Al Tikri Labas, don't call it that he took her as a daughter, Ela Labayis, as a house, which is a euphemism for a wife. V'chein Oem, so too it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, the same idea, where Nasan HaNavi had reprimanded David because of the incident with Bathsheba that he had Uriah killed, and he took Bathsheba as his wife. So he gave him a mashal, a parable, to compare that David HaMelech should realize the error that he made. So he was giving a mashal to a poor man. V'larash inkal, and this poor man, which was a mashal to Uriah, he didn't have anything. Kiyim kivsa achas ketana asher kan, except this one ewe, this one lamb that he bought, a very small one. V'chayah, and he kept it alive. V'tigdal imay, v'imban of yachtav, and he brought up this ewe, this sheep, with him and with his sons together. Mipitei teichel, this lamb ate from his bread, u'mekaisetishta, and it drank from his cup. U'bechei ketishkev, and it laid in his lap. V'tilo kebas, and this sheep was like a daughter to him. And then this wealthy person goes and takes away this one sheep, and he has so much that he has. Why does he have to take this one? Reference to David, why do you have to take away this one man? All he has is this wife, and you take it away when you have whatever you need in the world. Now, but the question is, Meshum de Becheke Tishkev Havisle Labas, or as the Gir says, Kabas. How does that go? It's saying that it was in his lap, and it was like a daughter. What does laying in one's lap have to do making like a daughter? Ella Labayas, meaning rather the lamb was like a wife. That's what it means laying in the lap. It means a form of intimacy. Hachanami labayis here also, although it says labas, just like over there labas means labayis, here also means labayis, which was that Mordechai took Esther as a wife. Now the pasuk says, and when Esther was taken by into the house of the king, because as all the maidens were taken there, so it says v'sheva hana'aris v'gaymer, where it talks about that Esther found favor in the eyes of the king, and then she was taken to get all her makeup done, and all this time that they were done there by the makeup. So it says that she had these seven maidens, these seven girls that were assisting her. So Amarava, what's this seven maidens? Shahisamayna ben Yimei Shabbos, that through these girls, she counted to know and to recall when was the day of Shabbos, who these girls were assisting her. One was on Sunday, one was on Monday, and one was Tuesday, and so on and so forth. When the girl who was always came on Shabbos, she knew, oh, it's Shabbos, and she knew that to keep the laws of Shabbos. Now it says that Vayishaneho, that Hegai, who was in charge of the cosmetics of all the women, he changed something for Esther, Vesnaraseho Begumran, for the girls that were assisting her. So Amarabi says, what was this? Shechila Michael Yehudi, that he gave her foods for the Jews, he gave her kosher food, and that was something that was different for Esther. Ushmulam, he actually says, no, Shechila Kadli de Chaziri, that he actually gave her fatty bacon to eat, which is from Chazir, which is actually the ultimate in that non-kosher sense. No, but Rashi says because of the situation that she was in, she wasn't punished, but that was the food that he fed her as a delicacy, as a favor, and that is for preferential treatment. Now, Rabbi Yechalmi says, no, Zerenim, what he fed her was seeds. And we find the pasuk in Daniel that seeds are good for the righteous, which keep them separate from non-kosher foods, and that was what Esther had in her situation. Because the pasuk in Daniel says, "Vayhia Meltzar," that the waiter, the one in charge of the food, "Naisei es pas pogum," which pas pogum is a certain type of a nobleman's type of food by the kazdim. So he carried that food, and they didn't eat that because they didn't want to eat non-kosher. But "Naisei lam zareinim," and he gave these lads, these Jewish lads, seeds. Which it says over there later on, that like sometime later, that their parents looked good and healthy and robust. Well, you see that for tzaddikim, what they eat is seeds, and that keeps them actually healthy, and it keeps them separate from non-kosher food. And that was what Esther had different, that she was given that to eat. That said, that the women would be shish chadoshim b'shemen hamor. They would be and permeated with this myrrh oil for 6 months. Says Gemara, my shemen hamor, what is shemen hamor? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar, he says, it's setacht, it's balsam. It's the type of oil that comes from this myrrh. Rav Huna, he says, it's actually shemen zayis lehevi shlish. It's olive oil that has not yet matured a third. That's a type of the shemen hamur. So Tanya learned the Braisa that actually, Behuda, he says, something else is the same thing that Rav Huna just said. He says, unfakinoin, which is a Mishnah Masechtas Menachos, that says, you can't bring for the oil unfakinoin. And if you do, it's going to be possible. And that reader says, what's amfakinon? He says, it's shemen zayish lehevi shlish. If it's alvo that it has not yet matured a third, that's amfakinon. So it's the same thing what Rav Huna is saying is this shemen hamar. But the Gemara says, v'lama sachan oisen. Why do they, these girls, for 6 months, they were anointing, they were smearing on this shemen hamar. Why do they do this? Says the Gemara, shemeshir esasar, because it removes the hair. U'ma'adin esabasar, and it gives a shine to the skin. Therefore, they went and they used this for 6 months. Now, it says after the girls went through all their whole period of makeup and whatnot, so it says that ba'erev hiba, so then the girl, when it was her night, she would come in the evening, in the morning she would go back to Shashgaz, who was in charge of taking care of the women. So Amr B'Yechon, it says, Megnusa Shalaisa Rasha, from the disgrace of that wicked person, meaning from Achashverosh, where we obviously see a disgrace where he would just have relations with women and send them away, and he would try them all out. Lamanu Shevchai. At the same time, we learn his praise. Shalhoi Meshamesh Mitasa B'yam, that we see that, yeah, at nighttime they came, that he didn't have relations during the daytime. So from the disgrace, we do see something praiseworthy about him. Now the Pasuk says that, Vati Esther Noises Chen. Now when it was Esther's turn, Esther found grace, as the Pasuk says, Be'ini Kol Re'eha, in the eyes of Ohu Soha. So Amr Belazi says, Malam, this comes to teach us, Shalakal Echad Ve'echad Ninmas Aleikumah, said that for every single person, Esther appeared to him as one of his countrymen, and therefore one is used to that and sees that as beautiful versus some other country, and other countries see the opposite, and therefore she appeared beautiful to everyone because she appeared to be like a cosmopolitan that way, that everyone saw her as from their own country. Now it says, "Batilakach Esther al Hamelech Achashverosh," that Esther was taken to the king Achashverosh, al Beis Malchusai, to his palace, b'chedesh ha'asiri hu chedesh tevis, in the 10th month of the year, which is chedesh tevis. Now says the Gemara, what's the significance of that? Yerech shenena guf min aguf. It's the month when the body has pleasure from another body because it's cold. So the Pasuk is testifying that the intention from heaven was that she should be endeared by her husband, that he should have pleasure with her because of that warmth, and therefore she was specifically taken in that month. Now it says, Vayev ha-melech has Esther mikol ha-noshim, that the king loved Esther more than all the women, v'tisachin v'chesed l'fanim mikol ha-psuos, and that she found grace and favor in his eyes, in front of him, from all the maidens. Now, Amar Rav, he says, there's two terminologies here, Noshim and Besulis. Because Bikish litim tam besula tom, if he wanted to taste the taste, the experience of having relations with a virgin, so he had that experience. Tam beula tom, if he wanted to have the experience of not having that, which these are two different types of intimate relations, so he had that experience too, and therefore it says, Mikala Noshim and Mikala Besulis. Now the Pasuk says, that's after that, Vayasa Melech Mishtei Gadol. So the king made a big party, where it says for all his ministers and his servants, he made a party of Esther, and he let off taxes for the countries, he gave gifts to all around, the way it's fitting for a king. So essentially what he was trying to do, he was trying to find many different ways to appease Esther, that she should reveal to him her origin, her history, her past. But nothing helped. As the Pasuk goes through, as the Gemara explains, Avid Mishtia, as it says that he made a mishteh, he made a big party where, in her honor, that he didn't do for any of the other women, and she still didn't reveal her past. Dali Karga, he went and he gave a little from the taxes. He says, oh, because of Esther, I'm not going to charge any taxes, which was what the Pasuk says, v'anoch l'medina sasa, and she still didn't reveal. Shadr Pradishne. So he sent gifts to all the ministers and all the kings in her name all around the world. Like it says, V'yitin Masas Kiyar HaMelech. She didn't reveal to him. So the next Pasuk says, Ubi Kovitz Besule Sheinis V'Goymer. So when he gathered the women again a second time to see who he's going to choose as a queen, V'Goymer, etc., where it says, and Mordechai was sitting by the gate of the king. What's that connection? And why is this coming after what the previous Pasuk said? It says Gemara, Azal Shakal Eitzim Mordechai. It says Mordechai over there because Achashverosh wouldn't take counsel from a Jewish sage, from Mordechai, and Amay says, "Ein ish," and he says, well, what's going on? This woman's not telling me where she's from, what her nation, what her nationality is. So Amar Mordechai said, I'll tell you what to do. Ein ish miskana, a woman does not become envious, only with the thigh of a friend, meaning when there's competition with another woman, oh, then suddenly you're going to have leverage on her. So therefore, go ahead and gather the women another time. She can see, oh, she's losing over here. Then she'll reveal where she's from. But says the Gemara, "V'afelochi legalilei." No, even though in spite of that, she still didn't reveal. Like the pasuk says, "In Esther, my God, this malata v'goymer." Esther was not revealing. She didn't reveal her birthplace and her people, like Mordechai had actually told her not to reveal, which ended up being part of the salvation of the Jewish people. Now, Amar Belazi says, "Mein dechsev." What does it mean? The pasuk is a ketintam and beis, which will lay back to this idea that which we're at that part in the Megillah that Esther became the queen of the whole world. It says the Pasuk in Iyev, Le'igur mitzadik, will not be taken away from the righteous, Einav, his eyes, I mean referring to the eyes of Hashem, which the Pasuk there ends, that ves malachim lakisei and kings on the throne, ve'yishivim lanetzach vigbo, and he'll elevate them for eternity. So what does this mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have his eyes on the acts of the righteous to pay them back their due, even for a long time, like it says, Lanetzach, but measure for measure? Says the Gemara, it's b'schar tzniyah shehisa baba Rachel, in the merit of the modesty that Rachel Imenu had. So zach sabayatzim in the shal, so she merited to have come out of her shal hamelech, who he was also modest. In the merit of the modesty that Shaul had, Zacha v'yatzis mimenu Esther, he merited to have from his descendants Esther Hamalka. Now, the way we know that Esther came from Shaul was because in the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the Megillus Esther, called Targum Sheni, it goes through the lineage of Mordechai, and it shows that he's a 10th generation from Shaul. And Shaul goes back to Binyamin. And it says, he Esther bas doidoi, that Esther was his niece. So, since she's a niece, and he's from Shaul, so we see that she comes from Shaul, but we have no other proof from the writings that she's from Shaul. So that's what it's saying, that we see the monarchy, the dynasty, came from this act of the righteous of Rachel, and that merit she had coming out from her, these modest people, like Esther was also loy magadis, and that was where Hashem gives back midik neged midah. Now the Gemara explains, what was this modesty that we said Rachel Imenu had? So the Chassid, because it says in Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu first met Rachel Imenu by the water over there, so he told Rachel that he's her father's brother. Now the question is, was Yaakov Avinu Lavan's brother? But he was actually the nephew. He was her father's sister's son. Ella, rather, Amala, Minsibusli. What happened was, he's told Rachel, marry me. Amalei, and she said, yes, I would love to marry you. But mi abramohu v'lo yachlis, my father is a swindler, you're not going to be able to get me a marriage. So Amalei said to her, achavan abramohu, don't worry, when he says, I'm your father's brother, I'm his counterpart, I'm his brother in being crafty, and I'll be able to swindle him, don't worry. So Amalei, she said to him, umishor li tzadiki l'segui b'ramusa, is a righteous person like you allowed to swindle? Amalah, so he said to her, in yes, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says, imnaver titaver, with a pure person, you act pure. Vimikish titapel, with a crooked person, you act crooked. So Amalah, so he said to her, Amir Musa, what's this that your father is gonna be crooked and I'm not going to be able to marry you? So Amalah, she said to him, look, isli achsa dekashish, I mean, I have an older sister, that was Leah, v'loi mitzv li mikama, he's not going to let me get married before her. So what did Yaakov Avinu do? Masala siman. He gave signs, because he's going to make up to marry Rachel, but yeah, Lavan's going to try to swindle. But Yaakov Avinu says, I'll get him back. Masala siman, he gave signs to Rachel to make sure that the woman that he's getting the night of the marriage is really Rachel. Now, kimat aleliyu, when the night of the marriage was coming, amra hashta michsva achsai. So Rachel said to herself, now my sister's going to get embarrassed, because Lavan's bringing Leah, and Yaakov's going to do the signs, and Leah's not going to get it, and the scam is going to be realized, and Leah is going to be implicated. So Misartinu Nehala says, I'm going to give her the signs. Now, that's what Rashi says. That was the modesty of Rachel. Means to say, no one heard about it. No one knew that she gave over the signs. Only a private, modest person can do such a thing, and that no one knew about it and didn't even get back to Yaakov. The Heindach 7, this is what it says in the Pasuk, Vehiba Baker Behin Heleah. It says, and then there was the morning time, and behold, Yaakov sees his wife that he consummated a relationship is Leah. What does that mean? What, up until now, until the morning, she wasn't Leah? Rather, what it means to say is because Rachel gave over the signs to Leah, until the morning, he didn't know. When it's light, so he sees, look, it's not Rachel, it's Leah. Now, therefore, she merited that out of her came Shaul. Now, Matznei's Haisa B'Shaul, what was the modesty of Shaul? The Chassidic says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says, that when he was talking with a relative of his, he didn't say about the fact that he was just told by Shmuel Hanavi that he's going to be the king. Asher Amar Shmuel that Shmuel told him. He was modest. He was private. He didn't say and sheer and brag. That's the modesty of Shaul. And Zachav Yatzim and Esther, therefore he merited that out of him came Esther, who was like the Pasuk talks about, Bes Molochem Lakisei, which was him and his grandchild, and a later generation of Esther, which was also this meat of its knees. Now, V'amr Belazi says further, Kish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paisa Gedul Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets out greatness for a person, paisig labanav ulavneivanav atzev kaladaris. He gives it for him, his children, his grandchildren, for all future generations. Shema, like it says over there in the end of that pasuk in Eiv, it says vayishivim lanetzach, that he will have them sit forever, vayigbo, and he's gonna elevate them, which is an elevation of greatness for all time, for all generations. Now, but if Higas Daita, but if the person starts bragging and becomes a Balgaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpil, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the person down. Shnema, like it says in the next pasuk, and therefore the pasukim are near each other, continuing from the last word of this past pasuk of Vayikbohu, if it's going to become Hori, then the next pasuk says, V'masur mazikim v'gaymer. But if it's going to be tied with chains, etc., where it says they're going to be tied with ropes of poverty, which is coming to say this idea, if a person elevates themselves into Balgaiva, he's going to come to poverty and to afflictions that then Hashem is going to take away and demote them from the greatness that they're supposed to have for all times, for all generations. Now the pasuk says, continuing on the narrative, Vesmama Mordechai, that the teachings of Mordechai, the statements of Mordechai, Esther Isa, Esther did. Where the pasuk says, Kasha Hisav Amne Ite, like she was when she was growing up with him. Now, Amr Bimri says, what does this refer to? And what's the relationship to when she grew up with him? Shahisa Mara Dam Nidl Chacham, which was the teachings of Mordechai, that a woman, when she's menstruating, so she would show her menstrual blood to the sages to figure out, to see, is this Dam Nida, is it not? Is she Tame or Shitar? Which is related to, like, the next words the Gemara expounds from the Pasuk. Kasha Haisab Amne Itai, as she was when she grew up with him, which is obviously connoting this idea, why she have to know about her Dam Nida, to know if she's permitted to her husband, which besides Achashverosh, was really still Mordechai. Which, that's what Amar Rabbi Bar Lema Mishmei de Rabbi says. What does it mean? What's the relationship to say as she was when she grew up with him? So he said, Medus Micheikah Shal Achashverosh, because she would get up, quote, from the lap of Achashverosh, v'tevelis, and she would immerse herself. Which Rashi explains, that was simply because of cleanliness. That she shouldn't be repulsive to the righteous Mordechai because of coming from the lap of Achashverosh. And then v'yeshevus Micheikah Shal Mordechai, then she would go ahead and sit in the lap of Mordechai Tzadik. Now the pasuk says, "But by Yom Mahem in those days, Mordechai yeshiv b'shar ha-melech, and Mordechai would sit at the gate of the king, where he would keep an eye on Esther, who was the queen. Katzav Bigsa Maserish." So the pasuk tells us that Bigsa Maserish, who were two of the king's appointees, they got upset at the king and they wanted to kill Achashverosh. So what's this part of the narrative? Why is this coming over here? So Amr B'chir Barabba Amr B'yichin says, "Hiktziv Hakadosh Baruch Hu Odna Alavada." We have two stories in Tanakh that are very similar. One is Hiksev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Odna Alavadav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a master get angry at his servants, which refers to the Yiksev Pari Al Shnei Sarisa, where Pari got upset at his two attendants in the story with Yosef HaTzadik, with the Sahar Mashkim and the Sahar Oifim. Why did he do that? Why did Hashem do that? Lasses with Saint Tzadik, to do the will of the righteous. Umana, who is that? That's Yosef. Shlomak says in the Pasuk that because those two attendants were in jail with Yosef, and then Yosef explained their dreams, and then they went out. So Bishalmi Tonu now every begum says, "Oh, Tampari, there was with us this young Jewish lad, and because of that the king got upset at his two servants, and they were in jail with Yosef. Ended up being Yosef came out, and then became the viceroy, became in charge of essentially the whole world." Now, similarly, Avad Mala Dineim, Hashem did also the opposite one time. He had servants get upset at their master. Lasses Nes Latzadik, again to do a miracle for a righteous person. No matter who's that, that's Mordechai. The like it says in the pasuk, "Vayivad haDavar laMordechai beGaimer," that it became known to Mordechai this plot that they were trying to do to Achashverosh, and it says that he told that to Esther, and Esther told to the king in the name of Mordechai, which ultimately ended up being the downfall of Haman later on when Achashverosh asked Haman, "What should we do to someone that did a favor to the king?" So you see two like inverse stories, which were both really the ultimate purpose was for the righteous people, that of Yosef and that of Mordechai. Now, Amar B'yichin, this is Bigsa Maserish, these two attendants that were trying to kill Achashverosh, Shneir Tarsim Haba, they were two people from this place, Tarsi, and they would speak in their language of Tarsi. They said one to the other, "Miyam Shabbas Zu, from the day that this woman, Esther, came to the king, Le'ri'inu Shina Be'inenu, we're not getting any shut-eye, we're not getting any sleep in our eyes." Because Esther was so dear to Achashverosh, so he would have a lot of marital relations, which made him thirsty, which kept them busy all night going to bring him water. So they said, "We're not sleeping. Bava Natal Eretz Besafel Kedei Shemes, let's put poison in his bucket where we bring him the water, so that he should die." Now, v'hein lo ha'yoyidun, they didn't know, ki Mordechai me'yoyitshvi lishkas ha'gazas, so either Mordechai was one of the Sanhedrin, from those who sat in the chamber of hewn stone in the Beis HaMikdash, v'ha'yideya b'shem lashem, one of the criteria of being in the Sanhedrin was to know all 70 languages, which included Tarsi. Now, they thought, who knows, this Jew, he for sure doesn't know our language. But he was overhearing this plot to kill the king from them. Now, Amalai, one said to the other, big son and Sarish, now, v'haloi ein mishmarti mishmarta chashava, but our posts are not the same you're in charge of one service of the king, and I'm in charge of the other thing. How are we going to do this thing, this plot? So Amalai said to him, don't worry, ani eshmer mishmartu mishmartecha. I'll watch my post and your post, and then you'll be able to go ahead and do this scheme to kill the king. Behind the sieve, and that's what the pasuk says, vayivukash adavid vayimotze, that it was inspected and was found to be true, like Mordechai had said, that they were trying to kill the king. Well, how did they find it out? Shalei nimtu b'mishmartim, they weren't found in their post, which obviously was because they were trying to go ahead and put the poison into the king's water, and therefore it was found out to be what Mordechai reported was true, and therefore saving the king's life. Now, it says after that, acha hadvar me'ela, which starts paragimel in the Megillah of Esther, after these words, meaning after the story of Bigson and Seresh, that then comes later what it talks about regarding the elevation of Haman to become the greatest in the land. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Acher Mai, after what? In other words, what is the pasuk telling us that Haman did not become the leader essentially of the whole empire until after the story of Bigson and Seresh? Samar Rabbi says, yes, it's coming to say, Acher Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refu Lamaka, only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the medicine for the wound, which is going to come, that already the refuah, which was the salvation, was because Mordechai saved the king's life before Haman even became the superior one. So Hashem already had the salve before the wound. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Only after the refuah was here, then the makkah came of Haman. The Amar Shlokesh, like Rish Lakish says, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu makkah, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not afflict the Jewish people. Elam kein bari lem refuah techil, unless he already has the medicine for them to heal them beforehand. Shlomak says the pasuk in Yeshaya. Says, Karafali Yisrael, when I will heal the Jewish people, only after that Venigla Avoy Nafraim will be revealed the sin of Ephraim through the affliction that I'm going to bring on them, but that's because the refuah is already there beforehand. But regarding the nations of the world, Hashem doesn't do like that. First he hits them, and then he brings about their healing. Shnemach says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem afflicted the Egyptians. He hit them, and then he healed them. Now the pasuk tells us that Mordechai wasn't bowing down to Haman, so he wanted to take revenge on Mordechai, but it says, but it was disgraceful in his eyes to just go ahead and try to take revenge on Mordechai himself. As the pasuk says, because they told him who's the people of Mordechai, so Haman was seeking to destroy all the Jewish people that was in all the kingdoms of Achashverosh, essentially of the whole world, who is the nation of Mordechai. So Amar Rava, he says, what's all these terminologies in the pasuk? So he says, actually, b'tchila b'mordechai levada. In the beginning, he wanted to just take revenge and kill Mordechai. Ul b'saif, at the end, he figured, no, ba'am Mordechai, on the people of Mordechai. Umanu rabban, who's the people of Mordechai? His people, that's the rabbis, just like him. Ul b'saif b'chal yud, but then he says, no, let me kill out all the Jewish people. Now it says, the way he was plotting this was hippel pur. He made a pur, and the pasuk says, what's a pur? Hu ha-gayrol, that's the lottery from day to day. On which day is the lottery going to fall, and also from month to month, which is going to be the day that he's going to have, that they're going to kill out all the Jewish people in one day. And it came out to be in the month of Adar. Now, Tana, we learned the b'raisa, kivin shenafal pur b'chodesh Adar, once the lottery came out to be in the month of Adar, that they're going to wipe out the Jewish people, sameach simcha gedolah, he was very happy, Haman. Amar, he said, nafali pur b'yeruch shemes b'maisha, look how great this lottery is. It came out to be when we find the demise of the Jewish people, in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. But says the Gemara, he didn't know that, yes, in the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. And we know it's the 7th of Adar because it says the people came out of the Jordan River when they crossed over into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th of the first month, which was the 10th of Nisan, as it says in Sefer Yeshua. If you go backwards 30 days that they didn't travel, that they were mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu, and 3 days that they prepared for them before they crossed the Jordan, that would be 33 days back. That would be from the 10th of Nisan to the 10th of Adar, and then going back 3 days for the 7th of Adar. But it's also on the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. How we know that is because Moshe Rabbeinu on the last of his life said, today I'm 120 years old, which means say, I just completed my 120th year, and therefore it was also the day that he was born. And therefore, it was worthy, the day Moshe Rabbeinu was born, to atone for the day that he passed away. So therefore, it wasn't ominous for the Jewish people. It actually was a good thing there was the Chodesh of Adar, which ended up being v'nahapachu. Now the pasuk says that when he went to Haman, said to the king Achashverosh, he says, "Yeshnoi am echad." It says there's one people, and as the pasuk goes on to say, that are spread out and dispersed amongst all the people and all the kings and all the lands of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all the people. The laws of the king they don't do, and it's not worthy for the king to keep them. And therefore, help me wipe out these people, which were the Jewish people. So Amar Rava, he says, like we're saying, Yeshnei Am Echad, he says in the interpretation of this whole pasuk, Leka du yad lishna bishakam. It says there was no one who knew how to speak slanderous speech, negative terminology like Haman. Amalei, because he said to Achashverosh, Tonachlinu, let's wipe out the Jewish people. So Amalei Achashverosh said to him, Mistafinim elahav, I'm afraid of their God. Don't levit be kedavid bekama. He shouldn't do to me like he did to all the previous ones. He started with the Jewish people. You're gonna get trouble. So Amalei Sahamet said to Achashverosh, and this is the Lishna Bisha, said, no, Yeshnu min amitzis. This was said, Yeshnu amechad. Yeshnu, it could also be read as Yeshnu. They're sleeping from the commandments. Don't worry, God's not going to protect them. They're sleeping from doing his commandments. So Amalei, but Achashverosh still said to him, but Istbu Rabbanan, they still have rabbis. Which as Rashi explains from this whole pasuk, which are responses that Haman was given to Achashverosh, we could learn what was it that Achashverosh was responding to him. So he says, but they're still rabbis. So Amalei, so Haman said to him, no, don't worry, I'm Echad Hein. This was Yeshna Am Echad. They're one people, meaning they're all in the same boat. If the Jewish people are not doing the commandments, the rabbis are not going to help. Now, so then Haman was forewarning, and he says, and Shema Toimer Karchani Oisa B'machuscha, and maybe you're going to say that if we're going to wipe out a whole nation, then maybe it's going to make like a bald spot in your kingdom, that one whole kingdom is full of the Jewish people. It says, no, Mifuzarin Hein Beina Amim. There, and this is what the pasuk says, Mefuzer. No, they're spread out amongst all the people. If you lose the Jewish people, it's not gonna cause major rupture in any one society. And Shematem is Hanominai, maybe gonna say, but you have some benefit from them? No, Mefurid. Mefurid is also, besides being dispersed, is Kepre de Zu, like a mule, which is also called a pered. Sheino is a pered. They're not productive. You're not gonna lose anything when they're not here. Now, Beshematema Ika Medinsa Minai, but maybe you're gonna say that there's a whole country. A small country, maybe a small island, but it's still full of Jewish people. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk says. No, b'chomadin is machosach, and all the lands of your kingdom. They're not in one place; they're all over the place. Moreover, the pasuk said, "But the same shenis michalam, and their laws are different from all the people." What was he telling lashon hara to Achashverosh? Deloy achli minan, they don't eat from us. Veloy nasvi minan, they don't marry our women. Veloy minasvi lan, they don't have them marry us. Also, he told them, they don't follow the laws of the kings, meaning regarding taxes and all different types of charges of the governmental intake. They don't give. Why? Because they don't have income for us to tax. Because they waste the whole year. B'shehi, which refers to an acronym of Shabbos Hayim. Pehi, which is Pesach Hayim. They're always saying, oh, we can't work. It's a Shabbos, it's a Yom Tov. Every time they have an excuse. So therefore, we're not getting any, they don't follow the laws. We're not getting any of the income taxes from them. And he said, Ulamelech in Shabbos Aneichem, and it's not worthy for the king to keep them, meaning it's not really appropriate. It's not really even fitting for you to keep these Jewish people. Why? Because the achlu b'shasu umavazi le'lamalchus, because they eat and they drink and they disgrace the kingdom. Why? Because vafilin neifel zvuv b'kaisa shalechemim. If a fly falls into the cup of wine of one of the Jewish people, so zorka b'shaseh, he throws out the fly and he drinks it. But v'madoyin ha'melech neigeh b'ksusa shalechemim. If my master, the king, would touch so little as touch the wine of one of them, of the cup of wine of one of them, chayvta b'karkavin shaseh, he'd throw it to the ground. They wouldn't drink it because of yain nesach. So he said to him, if it's good for the king, it should be written that they should be wiped out. And these 10,000 talents of silver should be a gift to the king for what I'm requesting. So Amr Shlokesh, he says, it was known and revealed in front of the one who said and made it the world, meaning Hashem created this whole narrative of the whole world. Hashem knew this. Haman He saw that Haman's going to try to take out shkalim of money, silver scum, to go ahead and have the Jewish people wiped out. Therefore, he prefaced the Jewish people giving shkalim for a noble sake before the shkalim of Haman for this ignoble sake. That's what we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim that says, on the first of Adar, this was in the month of Adar, on the first of Adar, it's called out by the courts, al hashkalim, regarding the shkalim, which in the month of Nisan has to be from the new shkalim of the Jewish people who have to give every single year for the carbon tamidim and so on and so forth. So on the first of Adar, a month beforehand, they bring the shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, that it's already in the beginning of Adar, already of the Jewish shkalim before the shkalim of Haman. And Valaklaim, another thing that's announced on the first of Adar, is that people should go out and see that already their vegetation is starting to sprout a little bit, and you could tell that if there's a forbidden mixture of different vegetation to uproot it from the fields, that's another announcement that the court makes on the first of Adar. Now, the Yemen Melech Laman, and King Achshareish responded to Haman, and he says, "Hakesef nasan lach, don't worry, you could keep this the silver talents. Va'am lasas b'ketev benech, and you could do with this people, the Jewish people, like it's good in your eyes." So Amar Babi says, what could you compare this to, this relationship between Achashverosh and Haman? In other words, you could learn from Achashverosh that his intent was also to kill out the Jewish people. You could compare this l'shnei b'nei adam, to two people. And because he didn't even take the money, he wasn't even doing it, he says, yeah, don't worry, you could kill them. You could compare it to two people that one of them had a big mound just laying there in his field. Another one had a big ditch in his field. Now, Baal Charitz Amr, the owner of the field that had a big ditch in his land, he says, meetingly tell Zebedam, who's going to give me, I wish I could fill up this ditch, give me a mound, I'll pay him whatever money it requires. Now, Belatel Amr, the owner of the mound, was saying, meetingly Charitz Zebedam, who would give me a ditch that I could put my mound into so I could get rid of this pile? Layam Nizdav Guzei Tzalzeh, it was at some time later that these two people encountered each other. So Amalei Baal Charitz LaBaltel, so the owner of the ditch said to the owner of the mound, says, great, Machali Tilchas, please sell me your mound. So Amalei, so the owner of the mound said to him, Tolai Sebechinim, take it for free, Valavai, if only you would take it, because I'm dying to get rid of this mound. That's the same thing here with Haman Achashverosh. He was asking him to kill him. He says, oh, please, take them, I don't need the money. I was also looking to get rid of him. You're going to do it, so you could do the job for me.